Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. Many advisors who consider themselves experts at calculating required minimum distributions throw up their hands when it comes to double deaths. Suppose Dad died in late 2007 and he left his IRA to his son Junior as beneficiary. Then Junior also dies in early 2008, just a few months after Dad, and before he has taken anything out of the inherited IRA. That's the situation that I call double deaths. The secret to untangling this confusing situation is to deal with each death separately. You just start with the first death, figure out what minimum distributions were required as a result of Dad's death, and you just ignore for the moment the fact that Junior is now also deceased. By the way, I'm also going to ignore disclaimers until the end of this podcast. So for now, pretend there is no such thing as a disclaimer. So Dad died in 2007. First question is, how old was he? If Dad was past his required beginning date when he died, then a distribution was required for 2007, the year of death. The distribution required was whatever Dad was supposed to take out in 2007. The required beginning date, or RBD, is April 1 following the year the participant reached age 70 and a half. So if Dad was past his RBD when he died, Junior, as the beneficiary, was supposed to take out of the account by December 31, 2007, any balance of the 2007 distribution that Dad had not taken out before he died. Once you've disposed of 2007, we turn to 2008. What is the required minimum distribution for 2008 and for later years? Junior was the named beneficiary of this IRA. Junior is a human being. This means that Dad did have a so-called designated beneficiary for this IRA. Designated beneficiary is an individual or qualifying see-through trust that is entitled to the benefits as a result of the participant's death. And because at Dad's death, the account passed to a designated beneficiary, the applicable distribution period for this IRA is, drumroll, annual installments over the life expectancy of the designated beneficiary, beginning the year after Dad's death. So the applicable distribution period, or ADP, for this account calls for annual installments beginning in 2008 over the life expectancy of Junior, the beneficiary. You've taken care of the first death. Now we go on and see what happens with the second death. Junior died in early 2008, before he had even gotten around to taking the RMD for 2008. What effect does his death have on the situation? There are actually two separate questions here. Who owns the account now, and what distributions are required? The second question is easy to answer. Junior's death has absolutely no effect on the applicable distribution period for the account. The ADP was established on the first death, as soon as Junior survived Dad and inherited the IRA. At that point, the payout period, namely Junior's life expectancy, became carved in stone. Regardless of where the account goes on Junior's death, the ADP will not change. It doesn't change just because the original beneficiary died. The tougher question is, who owns the account now? You may be surprised to hear that the IRS doesn't give a darn. The ownership is irrelevant as far as the IRS is concerned, because the ADP was established on the first death. But of course, we still have to figure out who's entitled to the money. First, here's where the benefits do not go. The benefits do not go to the participant's contingent beneficiary. Some people get confused on this. They think that since the primary beneficiary died, the money now goes back to the contingent beneficiary named in the participant's original beneficiary designation form. That's not what happens. Suppose Dad's beneficiary designation form named Junior as primary beneficiary and Dad's daughter, Susie, as contingent beneficiary. Susie, as contingent beneficiary, is entitled to those benefits only if the primary beneficiary does not survive the participant. Because Junior did survive Dad, Susie, as contingent beneficiary, has no rights whatsoever. Her rights were extinguished on Dad's death. The person who's entitled to the benefits now that Junior has also died is called a successor beneficiary, not a contingent beneficiary. So who is the successor beneficiary? Some IRA agreements permit the beneficiary who holds an inherited IRA to name a successor beneficiary for the IRA. If Dad's particular IRA provider permits that, Junior might have named his daughter, the grandchild of the original participant, as his successor beneficiary. If so, granddaughter now owns the account of successor beneficiary. But that doesn't change the ADP. It just means that granddaughter can continue to take annual distributions over whatever's left of Junior's life expectancy. The successor beneficiary simply steps into the shoes of the original beneficiary. Note that we don't get to flip over to a new life expectancy now that the account has passed to the next generation. We're still stuck with the original beneficiary's life expectancy. Well, maybe this particular IRA provider does not permit an IRA beneficiary to name a successor. Or maybe it does permit that, but Junior never got around to doing it. In that case, the IRA at this point will probably pass to Junior's estate, his probate estate. Now, usually when we hear that retirement benefits are passing to an estate, alarm bells go off. It's true that for the participant, leaving retirement benefits to the participant's estate as beneficiary usually produces a bad result. But when we're talking about an inherited IRA passing to the beneficiary's estate, it makes absolutely no difference for minimum distribution purposes. At the risk of repeating myself, the payout period was carved in stone as a result of the first death, so who gets the benefits on the second death, whether it's an individual, an estate, or a trust, makes no difference for minimum distribution purposes. So on the second death, we find that the ownership of the account passes to Junior successor beneficiary, whoever that may be under the terms of the IRA agreement, and the applicable distribution period remains unchanged. It's still Junior's life expectancy. Now we've got to circle back and just quickly look at a couple of things I skipped. One thing, I made it easy for myself by making the beneficiary the participant's son rather than his spouse. When double deaths involve a husband and wife, things are more complicated because of the special rollover and minimum distribution rules that apply to the surviving spouse. So maybe I'll get to that in some other podcast some other day. I also didn't talk about simultaneous deaths. That's another situation for another podcast, too. Finally, I skipped disclaimers. Whenever you have close-in-time deaths, you should consider whether the beneficiary's estate can disclaim the benefits. In this case, we'd be talking about Junior's estate disclaiming the benefits on Junior's behalf. A disclaimer is the refusal to accept an inheritance. If done correctly, it can save taxes. Generally, a disclaimer must occur within 9 months after the first death. In our example, Junior died just a few months after Dad, so Junior's estate might still be able to disclaim the inherited IRA. And this would cause the benefits to pass to Dad's contingent beneficiary. So when I said the contingent beneficiary's rights are completely cut off when the participant dies, I should have said, provided the primary beneficiary survives the participant and does not disclaim the benefits. So that's our tour of double deaths. Untangle the knot by starting with the first death, and when you get to the second death, remember you still have two threads to follow: who owns the account and what distributions are required. Don't confuse contingent beneficiary with successor beneficiary, and don't forget disclaimers. For Morningstar Advisor, this is Natalie Choate.